The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Is the console dead? What is the future of gaming? Well, we have Brian Lloyd from Entertainment.ie and Sarah Maria Griffin with us. And we were discussing this, Sarah Maria, earlier in the business slot with Samantha McCorkran. I suppose in some respects, isn't it logical what's happened with television, what's happened with music, that even gaming is going to move towards a streaming service?
It is, and I'm not sure that it's necessarily a bad thing. I think it democratizes play in lots of ways. It doesn't keep everybody who's interested in different kinds of games separate. Everyone is moving towards a more unified platform bit by bit, it seems. And I think it keeps things open.
But there will be platforms. Google are looking to launch their browser-based streaming service. They're going to call it Stadia,
yeah.
I think. Okay.
That was only released today, that news, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
So it'll come around later in the year. How do you think it's going to work, though? Because what will be available on it? And are we going to end up having big competitions between Google and Microsoft and Sony and various
well,
people?
That's the fear. Yeah, that's the fear. Because what's happening in the movie and television sphere at the moment is that the individuals studios are breaking off and creating their own streaming services, like Disney Plus, for example, which is going to be in competition with Netflix. So the fear is yeah, that Microsoft and Sony are going to come up with their own streaming service that will then be in competition with Stadia. Now, at the minute, a few gaming publishers have said that they are going to have exclusives for Stadia and that they will create content for it, but
they're going to be very worried about their income streams in the same way like with music and movies.
Exactly.
Because, you know, if you're able to charge €70 for a game that you download.
Exactly.
And suddenly that game is available on streaming, your business model changes immediately.
Exactly. That is going to blow a massive hole in their profitability. And to be fair, like, I mean, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5, we talked about it before. That is the best-selling piece of entertainment. That is the most profitable piece of entertainment ever made. Now, that's obviously because it sells at 70 quid a pop. You know, trying to compare that to, you know, a film, for example, which, you know, tickets cost, what, 10, 12 quid? You know what I mean? Like, you can't compare it. Like, it doesn't work by volume. It works by the sheer price of it. Like, so I don't know. I mean, like, it's a noble effort. And I do think that, you know, crossplay is the thing. Crossplay, for those who don't know, is where you'll be, if you're playing on Xbox One, you can play against somebody that'll be on a PlayStation 4. That is the coming thing. Microsoft and Sony have both said that they are planning to do more with crossplay in the coming years. So by extension, streaming feels like a natural extension of that.
What that might mean, though, is the introduction of very heavily inter-platform advertising.
Yeah.
Which is the worry.
Explain that to me.
If there are different streaming services setting up that are hitting the revenue of the game developers and they're losing money rapidly because they're only able to roll it out one game at a time, ads will be introduced on these platforms visually that we can see in the interfaces. So imagine Netflix, but with ads. That'll be like like Steam, but with ads that you can visually see, which will interfere with the player's experience. And part of what makes games such a purely enjoyable experience is that you pay €70 once and it's yours without ads.
Yeah. And you wonder what's our price they'll set the subscriptions at for the streaming service. And then you're also still going to need a console, aren't you? I
mean, you need a controller.
Controller. Yeah. You necessarily need a console.
They will find ways to make... Oh, there'll be some different consoles. I feel like you'll need a desktop or a laptop computer. You'll need a unit of some description to play these games off of.
Yeah.
There will still be ways for revenue streams to come into to Microsoft, Sony,
and
Google,
sure.
of course. But individual developers, that might be a very different story for them.
Yeah.
Because you wonder as well, I mean, and this gets us to the other thing we were going to talk about, sort of the gaming consoles that flopped. Sometimes early adapters miss out.
Mm.
So maybe you take your time, just continue gaming with your consoles and downloading,
and wait
in time
for it,
a streaming service will evolve, which
we'll
will
catch
actually
up.
Suit people.
Yeah, we'll catch up to it, yeah. And I mean, like, the thing that I think that puts people off PC gaming is the fact that, like, one, there's a very, very high bar to cross in terms of the cost of it. Like, I mean, to get a decent gaming rig, you're talking upwards of a grand at least.
And that evolves constantly. It requires updates. It requires changes. It's not just one purchase and you're one and you're done, which in many regards the home consoles are. Once you buy a Nintendo Switch, congratulations, you know, Nintendo Switch, it's going to work. It will update itself manually or automatically with the internet, but you don't need to buy bits.
But actually, that's the interesting thing. The Nintendo Switch, and I just know because my youngest fella's addicted to his, but he also used to have a Wii U, which has become pretty redundant.
I still use mine. I was saying to Brian outside, we use it as our home entertainment system because it runs Netflix, it runs YouTube. We got ours the year it came out as a gift, which is 7 years ago now. And
yeah,
we still use
it
with our television as like a home entertainment system. But it did walk a very fine line in terms of sales. Like, people weren't sure if I remember when it came out, it was kind of, was it going to flop? Is it going to hit? Because it was, like Nintendo often do, they go very family-oriented as opposed to the more commercial sort of
AAA
titles that you would get on a an Xbox or a PlayStation. So it did make it, though, just about.
It
pittered out in the end, but it was overtaken by the Switch, which is wildly popular. So,
what other ones failed? Sega Dreamcast?
We were only looking at the dates of this. 1998, the Dreamcast arrived, and it was gone by 2001. And it took down Sega with it, as far as I remember. It annihilated the whole company. I think at the time, it was a price point was much higher than most people could manage. And there weren't a lot of games available for it. And also, it looked like a toy. It was a white box. It didn't. All the other video games consoles that were coming out at the time in 1998, when
they're
video games
black
were
and big.
All black and sleek and kind of see, like they weren't toy-like. And now it's much more appropriate and much more commercial to make video games look like toys because more people play them. But back then, the market was completely different.
Yeah,
and of course, it wasn't the first Sega flop either, was it?
No,
the Sega Saturn. Yeah, that was the big. Now, this was the one that was very much of its time, where it was big, beefy, black. Now, this was in direct competition with the Sony PlayStation and with the Nintendo 64. But I mean, you know, the problem with the Sega Saturn, as far as I can tell, anyway, was the fact that, you know, there wasn't enough games for it. Enough of the exclusives for it didn't really warrant playing. And just, you know, the market was saturated. Like, Sony were just coming into play.
And the PlayStation really did completely reorganize.
Oh, blew a hole,
it was completely different. The CDs were much cheaper to produce. The games were falling in price from what they were.
Yeah.
It was a completely different world, and the Saturn just couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
And even go back to the Nintendo again. They also had their issues with 64DD.
Which never made it to
so
America. I remember reading about it in magazines when I was a child and thinking, oh my goodness, this is the next big thing. And it didn't make it out of the oven. It never happened. So it was very ambitious for its time because it promised updates to games that already existed, which back when games were just on cartridges and we didn't have the internet really in our homes, buying an extra thing to add to your console that would give you more content in games was unheard of.
At the time, yeah. Like, but now it's completely norm.
Now 6 months after a game is dropped, you get new levels, new characters. It's completely, we take it for granted. But back then, it seemed miraculous.
I have to finish it there, unfortunately. Sarah Murray Griffin and Brian Lloyd, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.